I got to see a good friend of mine over the weekend, and when I saw him right away, I noticed that he had on an Apple Watch. And I had never remembered seeing him wear an Apple Watch before, so naturally I said, "Hey, is that new?" And he was like, "Yeah, my wife has really been after me to get one of these because so often I miss her phone calls and I don't answer her text messages. And so she wanted me to have one of these so I would have no excuse and I could never say again that I didn't realize she had called or I didn't realize she had texted. So now I guess I got to answer the phone." And I said, "Hey, don't worry. You can always forget to turn it off of Do Not Disturb, and you can still go without answering. Don't even worry about it. You can still get by with." Are y'all out there? Are y'all with me this morning? Nobody's ever done that before? It's only me. All right. Well, it is true that these things, they vibrate. Every time I get a phone call, every time I get a text message, it starts buzzing on my wrist, and so I pretty much can't miss it. I can't always take it, but I can't miss the fact that I'm getting a phone call or I'm getting a text message. So, but I was more caught up in his watch. I said, "So when did you get it? Because I haven't seen him in a while. I didn't know how long it's been." And he said, "I got it last week." I said, "Oh, so it's really new. I guess then it's one of the new generation. It's like series 2. I guess that means it's the waterproof one, right?" He was like, "Yeah, it's waterproof up to 50 meters, which is way more than I'll ever need. I'm never going to go that deep in water anyway, but it's waterproof up to 50 meters. Now, just a little bit of backstory. My wife and children gave me an Apple Watch for Christmas 2 years ago. And it's the older one. It's the other generation, the Series 1. But I love it. It's been great. It vibrates with calendar reminders. It tells me it's time to leave to make it to an appointment. It alerts me to phone calls and I can read text messages. And it's also motivated me to exercise a little bit more to get more steps in a day. So it's really an amazing little device. I can speak to it and create reminders. I can dictate text messages to it and it'll send. It's great. But as soon as my friend Joe said that his watch was waterproof, then all of a sudden I thought, I wish my watch was waterproof. I kind of like to be able to, in case somebody pushes me in the pool or if I go swimming, I wish my watch was waterproof. It's crazy because I thought about it several times after that. And then finally I caught myself and I thought, what am I thinking? I've been perfectly content with my watch for nearly 2 years, and now all of a sudden I'm not, just because I found out Joe's got a watch that's waterproof and mine's not waterproof. And it's crazy. And all this is going on inside my head, and nobody knew about it. Well, at least not until now, because now I'm telling you. But all this was running through my mind, and I really had to catch myself. And I said to myself, "Oh, your miraculous watch that can play music, that can speak to you, to which you can dictate text messages, your watch isn't waterproof. Your life is really hard. I don't know how you're going to survive this now that you know your watch is not waterproof. It really stinks to be you." Seriously, I was thinking, what is wrong with me? Half the world's population lives on less than $2.25 a day. Millions of people around the world don't know where their next meal is coming from, and yet they are still content. Actually, they're more than content. They're full of joy. And here I was, bummed that my miraculous little watch isn't waterproof. Give me a break. What is wrong with me? It bothered me that it bothered me. Now, thankfully, we've been reading the book of Philippians for the past 4 weeks, and it's been great because maybe the reason I caught myself and realized how ridiculous I was being, maybe the reason it stood out to me is because we've spent the past month in the book of Philippians reading Paul's letter to the church and learning about joy. And we've been reminded that joy can't be jailed. That the genesis of joy is Jesus. There's no other source for that. It comes from a relationship with Him. Joy and contentment is independent of external circumstances. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can still be content. No matter what's going on in our lives, we can still have joy. And Philippians has taught that to us. It's been a theme that's run through the entire book. And this morning, as we prepare to read our scripture lesson for the day that comes from the last chapter, the fourth chapter, this is the last Sunday in the series called Unchained, because we're going to finish out the book this morning. But we're going to hear that theme again. But before we dive back into it, I want to remind you, in case you haven't been here or in case you've missed a couple of the sermons along the way, this is a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote back to the church at Philippi, his Christian friends back at Philippi, and he wrote it from prison. Throughout his ministry, Paul was imprisoned a number of times. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was flogged, he was thrown in jail, and one of those times he was put in jail in Rome, and from that prison he writes this letter to the Philippians. And we're going to read a passage from that, from Philippians chapter 4. I'll begin with verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, I knew you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, when the going is rough, Christ is enough. Can you do that for me? When the going is rough, Christ is enough. When the going is rough, Christ is enough. When I was a kid, my favorite Bible verse, bar none, was from this passage we just read. My favorite Bible verse was Philippians 4:13. And maybe it's a favorite for some of you here today. It's a great verse. And I remember as a kid going to summer camp, and we, every year at summer camp, we would sing this song that was based on this Bible verse. And the song went something like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no mountain too high. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing's impossible with God on my side. Nothing's impossible with Jesus. Nothing's impossible with my Lord. Nothing's impossible with Jesus. Nothing's impossible with God on my side. And that song... that song helped me memorize that verse, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It kind of made it marinate in my mind and made it settle down in my soul. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you might be thinking, well, if nothing's impossible, then why can't you sing any better than that? And that's a good question. Thank you very much. I'm pretty sure they would kick me out, but I appreciate that. But it's a good question. I mean, and even though this was my favorite verse as a child growing up, as time went on, I started having my own questions about this Bible verse because I heard how people used it. And I saw that people would lift this verse up out of the rest of Philippians 4, and they'd say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, there's nothing. I can do anything. And I started thinking, well, is that when it says I can do anything, does it really mean anything? When Paul says I can do all things, does he really mean all things? I mean, does that mean that I can be faster than a speeding bullet because Christ is strengthening me? I mean, does it mean that because Jesus is the one who strengthens me, I can leap tall buildings in a single bound? Does it mean that I'm more powerful than a locomotive? Does it mean that if I put Philippians 4:13 on that little eye black, you know, that athletes use, if I put that on my face, does it mean that my team can go out and I can lead them to victory no matter how bad my team is and no matter how good the other team is? Does it mean, does God even care about the outcome of these ball games? I don't know. I mean, what does this really mean? It was confusing to me. And if it doesn't mean those things, if it doesn't mean that I can be superhuman, then what does it mean? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to take a look at the context of this passage from Philippians. We can't just lift that one verse out. We've got to see how it fits into the overall letter and what Paul's trying to say. And so just jumping back a little bit before our passage this morning, this comes from chapter 4, verse 4. It says, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, if you remember back to our first week of this Unchained series and first chapter of Philippians, you'll remember that Paul was talking all about rejoicing in that first chapter, about having joy. In fact, he said that he was rejoicing because he had been thrown in jail. Now, I'm going to bet that you can watch live PD until the cows come home, and you're never going to see anybody who gets arrested who says, oh, I'm glad I got arrested. I can't wait to get to jail. Some of you don't know what live PD is. I can tell. It's sort of like Cops. It's a TV show. Google it when you get home. But I can promise you, you can watch Cops or you can watch live PD all day long, and you're never going to see anybody who's arrested say, oh, well, I'm so glad you arrested me, because now I get to share the gospel with the people who are in prison. I don't think you're going to see that on live PD. But that's what Paul said. He said, I'm so glad I got arrested. I'm so glad I've been in prison because of the fact I'm in here. I can share the good news with the Roman Imperial Guard, and I would never have been able to share the good news of Jesus with them if it weren't for the fact that I'm in prison. So I'm glad. I'm glad to be here. There's no other way that these guards, there's no other way that the people in Rome would have been able to hear this message if it weren't for the fact that I was in jail. So Paul rejoices. And now in chapter 4, verse 10, he again rejoices. This is what he says in verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So here's what's going on in this passage. Of all the churches Paul has planted in Thessalonica, in Corinth, in Ephesus, in Galatia, of all of those churches that Paul has planted, the Philippians are the only church to contribute consistently to Paul's ministry, to Paul's missionary work in the world. And here at the end of his letter to them, as the letter is drawing to a close, Paul is thanking the Philippians for sending another offering, for sending support to him through his friend Epaphroditus. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 11, I'm not saying this, I'm not saying thank you because I'm in need. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not telling you this because I'm in need. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Wow, if we could learn that lesson, how much better would life be? If we can learn always, no matter what our circumstances, to be content. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now here's two interesting things about this verse. First of all, the Greek word that's translated content is only found one place in the entire New Testament, and it's in this passage. And that's significant because we know that in Philippi, there's a large group of Stoic philosophers. Now, you might remember Stoicism from philosophy class in high school or college. The Stoics are all about contentment. The highest goal for a Stoic philosopher is to reach this place of contentment, where you can be content regardless of your external circumstances. No matter what's going on in your lives, the Stoic wants to be content, because if you can achieve contentment, when you learn the secret of contentment, then you are completely self-sufficient. You don't have to rely on anybody for anything. You can be an island unto yourself. You can be in control of your own destiny. You don't have to worry about anybody else. And so that's the goal for the Stoic. And Paul says, I've learned to be content, no matter what my circumstances. So if there are any Stoics who've made their way into the church at Philippi, and they're getting to hear or read Paul's letter, then I'm sure they're thinking, all right, way to go, Paul. You made it. You achieved contentment. Now you're independent. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You're not dependent on anybody. You're completely independent. You are self-sufficient. But then Paul goes on to say, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it means to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. It's like Paul saying, hey, I've been there and done that. I've been hungry and I've had plenty to eat. I've had times when everything was going right in my life, and I've had times when everything was going wrong in my life. I've had times when everything was going the opposite direction from when I wanted it to. And through it all, I've learned to be content no matter what. But sorry, Stoics. I haven't learned this contentment because I'm self-sufficient. It's not because I'm an island to myself. It's not because I'm independent and I don't have to count on anybody for anything. No, I can be content no matter what my circumstances are, because I am completely and utterly dependent. I can be content no matter what, in good times and in bad, when I have a belly full and when I'm starving, because of Jesus. I can be content because of Jesus, because of my relationship with Him. I can do all of this, Paul says. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I can be content no matter what, because when the going is rough, Christ is enough. See, it's not so much that Philippians 4:13 is saying that I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but it's more in the sense of I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that can happen to me that I can't be content and I can't find joy, because Jesus is with me and that's all I really need. That's what Paul's saying. I can do all this because of Christ who strengthens me. And in the midst of it all, I can be content and I can have joy. When the going is rough, Christ is enough. Even while he's thanking them for their generosity toward him, And toward his ministry, Paul's desperately trying to teach this message. The message he started out with in chapter 1, and a message that's been like a thread that holds the whole letter of Philippians together. He's trying to teach them that contentment is from Christ. It's not from anything else. It's not from how much stuff you have or how much money you make. It's not even by how much you enjoy success or health. It really isn't even caught up in that. Contentment is in Christ. As we learned in the very first week of this, the genesis of joy is... Two of you were here the first week, right? The genesis of joy is... The genesis of joy is Jesus. When you have plenty, when you have nothing, when the going is rough, Christ is enough. In fact, Christ is more than enough. On Thursday of this past week, I went out to work on our Homes of Hope house. And if you're newer to Advent and you don't know what I'm talking about, back at Christmas, we dedicated our Christmas Eve offering of $44,000 to build a house for people who are trying to find a permanent solution to escape homelessness, people in our community. And now the house is in the dry and it's coming along quite nicely. And we can all participate. We can go out there and work on the house and it's great. And what I got to do on Thursday was put up vinyl siding. And the best part of my experience was working alongside my new friend Corwin. Now, I liked Corwin immediately. It was just something about him. Right off the bat, I could tell that there was this light radiating from him. He had a big smile, and you could tell he was joyful. And we were working together on siding, and pretty quickly I learned that he's a man after my own heart, because Corwin was very fastidious. He wanted to be sure this thing was right, and so we went a little slower than the other team on the other house, because every piece of siding we put up, just to be sure, we put the level on it to make sure we weren't getting off, and we measured twice, cut once, and we wanted this thing to look good. And Corwin was right there with me on that. And so as we were moving very slowly on this vinyl siding, I got to hear Corwin's story. He was 28 years old. And he's been on his own since he was 17 when his parents kicked him out of the house. He's been in jail a few times. He's been in rehab 3 times. And this most recent time, he went to rehab at Miracle Hill in their Overcomers program. He said that the thing that sets Overcomers apart from other rehab programs is it's not just about recovery. It's also a discipleship program, and it's all faith-based. And Corwin told me that in Overcomers, that's where he met Jesus for the first time. And he's told me, he said, my life's never been the same. I mean, 8 months ago when I started Overcomers, I was a mess. And then I met Jesus, and Jesus grabbed a hold of my life, and he's rescued me, and I have never been the same since. And since he graduated Overcomers, he was eligible to go into the Homes of Hope Men's Discipling Program, where not only do they get to spend time in Bible study and discipleship every day, but they also work on these Homes of Hope houses to learn a trade. So in the process, they're building these houses, they're learning carpentry, and they're learning plumbing and electrical, and they graduate on the other side of this program, and they know what it means to follow Jesus, and they also have some marketable skills. And so he was sharing with me all about this. And I hope you get an opportunity to go out and work on our Homes of Hope house. And I hope you get to meet Corwin and you get to work with him. Because I guarantee you, if you meet him, he's going to be smiling. He's going to be beaming. And you're going to see the joy in him. You're going to see the light that radiates from him. And as I was working with him, after a while, working out there in this 90-degree heat, and watching him smile and watching what such a positive attitude and how meticulous he was, I finally said to him, Corwin, after all you've been through, how can you be so joyful? And he looked at me and he said, well, I've got this new waterproof Apple Watch. He didn't say that. Here's what he really said. He said, how could I not be joyful? Jesus has saved me. And if you knew what my life was like before, and you could see how Jesus has rescued me from that, you wouldn't have to ask me how I could be joyful. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the going is rough, Christ is more than enough. And all God's people said,